This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, for the most part, a quiet market trade seen on Monday. Welcome into Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us, making us part of your day once again today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here as we take a look at the market trade and issues impacting rural America here on Market Talk once again. And, you know, really to start out the second week of August, a fairly quiet trade was seen in the grains. We did see a little bit of late session movement, but overall, a pretty low volume, quiet day that we are going to discuss coming up here with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst joining us in segment two and three today. We're going to sit down and talk with John about the markets. We're going to discuss the rains that we saw, the heavy rains that we saw in some parts of the central corn belt here over the weekend. I'm thinking northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, the eastern South Dakota, southeastern South Dakota area, Sioux Falls mainly, looking into parts of Wisconsin, Illinois, and further to the east. We're going to discuss all that and more and the impact of the markets coming up here with John Heimberg. Also, speaking of the weather, we're going to get a little more in-depth with it too. Coming up at the end of the show today, Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien will join us as we take a look at the weather forecast for the week ahead. Not a whole lot in the way of rain chances for much of the Western Corn Belt here with the week ahead. We're going to talk to Eric coming up here at the end of the show today to discuss. Right now, though, market analysis and commentary with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. I talked to Arlen around midday on Monday session when we were seeing fairly quiet trade action across the grains and oil seeds. And here's what Arlen had to say about that, starting with the grain and oil seed trade on Monday.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a confused trade, shall we say, trying to determine if the glass is half full or half empty. We did have USDA confirm some weekend sales of corn and soybeans on the export market this morning. That gave some support to the nearby contracts. Meanwhile, the deferred contracts remained primarily in the red. Because of some of the weekend rains that fell, the coverage and intensity of those rains exceeded the expectations of some model runs. That's the good news. The bad news is it exceeded the coverage and intensity with more of an easterly bias, leaving out some of the westerly areas of the belt that probably needed it the worst. Not that they weren't beneficial where they fell, but we sure could have used those a little bit more to the south and to the west and maybe distributed that rain out a little bit better. But it's the glass half full or half empty question again, and that's going to come down to crop ratings over the next couple of weeks as this plays out. On the wheat side, we're getting some support from reports that India is going to, looks like it wants to scrap its import tax. It's got record high wheat prices domestically now, and so it's trying to cool that market down a little bit, maybe import some wheat. That's pretty significant considering that 6 months ago we were looking at India being a big exporter before we realized that hot, dry conditions had taken the top of off their crop.
Well, Arlen, as well, you know, you mentioned crop ratings moving forward, and we look at everything else going on with the broader macro markets, with inflation talk, et cetera. I know we got the Inflation Reduction Act working through Congress here over the weekend. How much do you think the macro markets are going to play into this story as we move through the rest of August, with weather seemingly kind of taking the lead, so to speak, here in the markets a little bit?
Well, I think Wednesday and Thursday are going to be key days in the outside markets, and that comes right ahead of our USDA crop report. Those Wednesday and Thursday is when the outside markets get inflation data, the consumer price index on Wednesday, the producer price index on Thursday, there's a general expectation that those inflation numbers are going to moderate. This is data from the month of July, and it was, of course, inflation was red hot in June, but since then we've seen commodity prices come down quite a bit. But the sense is that we're going to see the headline numbers moderate more than the core inflation numbers. The core inflation numbers remove food and energy, which tends to be more volatile. So that would suggest that the real structural issues behind inflation are still in place. So those numbers surprise to the positive side, that's one thing. If they surprise to the negative side, that's another. And if we see a volatile reaction in the outside markets, that certainly could distract from the grain and oilseeds trading supply and demand fundamentals as we go into the crop report on Friday.
And Arlen, in the livestock sector, fairly good trades so far to start the week. Green numbers on the screen, a little bit to the upside in cattle and hogs. Any thoughts in the protein sector?
You know, overall, it's really impressive strength that we're seeing in this protein complex today. And it's led by feeder cattle market, perhaps supported by word this morning from the Tyson CEO. According to news reports indicating that we're going to have some very tight supplies over the next year or two or three based on the culling that we've seen in the cow herd over the last year and a half or so that's finally going to catch up to us. Much of that culling, yeah, you can blame it on lack of profitability, but a lot of it's also due to persistent drought in the western half of the country. So we've been seeing heavy cow slaughter. In fact, the latest weekly data showed cow slaughtered 82,000 head, which is the second highest total of the year. So that cow slaughter continues to be a factor, and that's going to come back to haunt us in the way of tight supplies for feeders down the road, and perhaps starting as early as the fourth quarter of this year.
And again, that's comments with Arlen Suderman of Stone X from Monday's action midday on Monday. We got those comments about the trade from Arlen. Well, Secretary of State Tony Blinken says the recent grain shipments from Ukraine are a good first step, but small compared with the amount of stored grain the Russians have blocked from export until now. And Blinken says the world is depending on it.
It needs to get out to world markets. It needs to get to places where people are in desperate need of food. It needs to get out so the prices also continue to go down, not up.
And that will take shipment of much more grain than the initial shipments we've seen.
It's a start, but the test is now really in the days and weeks ahead. More ships need to move. More grain needs to get to market. That's what will really make a difference.
Now, we've seen more ships leave here over the weekend from Ukrainian ports, but we're continuing to watch a lot of small ships and still plenty of grain that needs to get out of ports there in Ukraine. Also, another story of note here today, over 50% of the U.S. was at least some level of drought for the fourth straight week. The U.S. Drought Monitor says the combination of extreme heat and low rainfall is pulling moisture from plants in the soil. The western U.S., and especially California, remains in a drought that's lasted several years. While drought is an increasing worry in the northeast, midwest, and south, extreme rainfall events are hitting parts of Kentucky and Mississippi. A flash flood warning was issued for St. Louis late last week, thanks to rainfall rates of several inches per hour. Drought also expanded in some parts of the southern plains, particularly in Texas, where the consequences are hitting agriculture and cattle ranching. We're going to talk weather later in the show with Eric Snodgrass. Coming up next, we're going to talk markets with John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing. Back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now as we take a look at the market trade action for Monday and get a look at how things fared to start off the week, let's welcome in John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing joining us today. John, good to catch up with you, sir. How are you?
Doing well. We lucked out, got some nice rain here in east central Wisconsin over the weekend. And I know that's going to be the kind of the main focus of the markets is who's got what over the last handful of days.
Yeah, and I think that was a big focus. It felt like the trade was a little choppy on Monday. Couldn't really decide what way it wanted to go. And I wonder if some of that was, you know, maybe a combo of looking ahead to Friday's USDA report coming up, and then also looking back at this past weekend's haves and have-nots with the rainfall, because you mentioned it, a pretty decent area of corn country from basically Sioux Falls, draw a line over towards Chicago, Milwaukee, down into parts of, central Illinois, and got some really good, really heavy rains at some spots, John.
Yeah, you go look at that area that picked up the majority of the rain over the weekend. Again, that Minnesota-Iowa border, you go look at crop production maps and where corn is raised, that's become a major production area. And it picked up some very, very necessary and timely rains in this time frame, even with the temperatures where they are. So, talking to some producers probably in that area too, that, that might be enough to kind of get them through and really kind of help finish this crop out a little bit here. Things were getting a little stressful because of the heat and things of that nature, but that storm definitely brought some rain in. Some areas maybe even a little bit too much. And in that northern Illinois area, they broke into the double digits. Now, that's not exactly what everybody needs. But again, just talking to producers all along that line into northern Illinois and into Indiana, they picked up some good rainfall totals and things look good. Now, with that being said, obviously what's south and west of there is the issues. What are we going to see in Nebraska, Kansas, southern Iowa, in terms of those crop ratings that come out this afternoon? So the market was extremely choppy today. We tried to do a little heavy lifting early and got corn off its lows, and but then we got the USDA report Friday, and nobody really wants to stick their neck out here per se and make a decision. It's just going to be a very interesting week until we get the new goalposts set here with the numbers from the USDA on Friday. Then we can start assuming if we like it or we don't, if we believe it or we don't, and we'll watch how the market trades.
Well, and obviously we can't predict what's going to happen day to day here ahead of this report, but it feels to me, after seeing Monday's action and to your point, that we could just be kind of range-bound and choppy here in these grain markets, give or take a news item that comes into play ahead of this Friday report, because as you just said, not a lot of people want to stick their neck out here. To me, this feels like a good spot to get some defense in place ahead of this report, just in case we get a surprise from USDA.
Yeah, there's a couple different ways you can handle it here. If you're truly in the bullish camp and think prices are going to go higher, then you got to look at some of the put strategies. You got shorter time, the September puts, either short day puts under new crop, then otherwise September puts if you still got some corn in the bin. They don't have a lot of time on them. They expire here on the 22nd, but at least they give you a little cushion through the numbers in a day or two after. Otherwise, you got those, full length puts out to December. We got also October puts. You got November puts all tied to the December contract. It's a great spot to make sure you build a floor in. As you kind of said, we've been consolidating. I've been looking at the weekly charts. Realistically, since we fell apart and kind of found some bottom, we've got just a wide range, since mid-June that we've been trading. Feels like the price could make one more move out of that to the downside. And if that's the case, there's some targets below that are kind of scary. I go look at a 525 target zone, a $6 put, a 580 put, somewhere in here, just making sure we protect that low that we put together here the last few weeks. Might be pretty good investment and still give you the opportunity to keep the market open to the upside at harvest.
Well, now, another thing that you and I were talking about, and I think it's another story that bears watching, we got some sales on Monday morning, corn and soybeans. The soybeans were to China. That's a totally different story. But corn to Italy showing up on the board, and then unknown destinations. It sounded like the heat's really taking a toll on that EU crop over there. So I wonder how much that story could play in for corn, for wheat over there, et cetera, as we work through and get into this fall. I got a feeling, just seeing some of the stories out of there, we could see more business come to the U.S. possibly.
Yeah, that might be a number that we really got to watch on the report here this week, is what does the USDA and the World Board do with the European crop? How much damage could be done? It was well known that Italy was dealing with a major drought issue, so their supplies are tight. So it did, was kind of reflective in that purchase today, just making sure they had additional corn purchase. And there was an unknown destination sale there. We always chalk that up to China historically in the past, but that very well could be anybody else that stepped in, and maybe somebody else in the European side stepping in, picking up some corn. So that's a number I'll be looking at too. Now, they're not a monster player in terms of the world market, but they are a player in the world market. And when you're dealing with a globally tight supply overall, any bushels lost is just going to add value into the marketplace. So kind of keep an eye on where the USDA and, like I said, the World Board puts that European number, you know, because things definitely have been very difficult there in terms of some of the heat that they were dealing with this past summer.
Well, that daily news we got, I know we got weekly export sales and shipments. Do you see anything there on Monday that stood out to you, good or bad, John?
I like the bean number today on the shipment side. Still not where we need it to be, but a nice jump getting up over the 800,000 mark here with a couple of weeks left to go in the marketing year. You know, it kind of looks like a, not saying an anomaly, but a nice jump over the pace we've been at. So that might tell us that, you know, hey, some of these beans are moving now. Some of the reason we saw a little bit of firmness in those front months today, and maybe we got a little bit of export demand going right here, as well as the soybean meal side has been very active recently as well. So that was encouraging. Corn numbers kind of ho-hum today. Again, like to see a little bit more strength there. Not sure how that's all going to correlate into the numbers we see on Friday. You know, do we see some demand adjustments adding to those carryout totals? That'll be our biggest concern in this marketplace. You know, at least on the demand side, is if they scale back some of those export totals forecasted here for this year.
Now, on the cash side, corn and beans, John, isn't this typically a window where we see basis weaken a little bit, but yet it's still relatively holding firm? I just wonder your thoughts there with the cash market for both corn and beans and where that kind of stands right now across the countryside.
Yeah, this is that window, and it's getting to be kind of crunch time here, and it's still holding in there pretty well. Again, just showing some of the demand that's out there, and you know, maybe some of the tight supply or the fact that farmers maybe just still holding on to grain. Now we're getting into that time frame where we need to clean out the bins to get ready for the new crop to come in. And we could see that hit that cash market. That's kind of that signal that things really kind of fall apart, is when we start seeing that basis kind of tumble, when all of a sudden that end user says, hey, we got new corn coming. We got enough to get us through. We don't need to bid up anymore. And you see things kind of tumble, and that can happen extremely quickly. So, you know, again, for producers, you've got good value out there. If you got a basis level that's friendly and you're still sitting on some old crop corn, you know, I mentioned before, there's two ways of handling things. You buy puts. The other way I didn't finish out was, you know, sell the cash grain, step into the market with a call or call spread, at least define your risk to the upside and get that floor secured. You know, that works both for both old and new crop in this window. You know, you still got good value there. You may want to take advantage of it and shift that risk over to the paper side of the equation. If this market were to take off because of a surprise from the USDA or early frost causing some pop in the market as we get closer to harvest, you know, at least you got something there to keep some value open in terms of that grain that you move here.
John, one more thought on soybeans as well. The U.S.-China tensions over Taiwan, circling back to that sale to China this morning of beans. Do you think that's already become an old story here for the time being, and barring we see any other escalation of tensions?
You know, for the most part, it was still kind of out there today, but it did fall to the back burner over the weekend because, you know, it's still going on and nothing was escalating other than just the activity. And they're kind of continue those war games or war practices as best they can here for a little bit longer. They extended that a little bit today. So that makes everybody a little bit nervous. But again, they still come down to the fact that we've got some value in this market right now. U.S. beans are still the cheapest beans in the world, probably now through the end of the year, until maybe we see what's going to happen with that South American crop as they start planting here in the next handful of weeks. So obviously, the Chinese imports are down so far on the year. We got that July data that basically we're running about 9% under last year at this time frame, even though last year was a strong year. That's a reflective of the high prices and maybe some of the demand tightness that they've got over there and some of the margins that aren't there. So there's a lot of bean sales on the books. It'll be interesting to see if when we get to the fall, how fast the shipments kick in and we try to get those beans on a boat and get them out the door.
And John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing, he is our guest today here on Market Talk. And coming up, we are going to continue our conversation. We'll get John's thoughts in the livestock trade, which looked pretty stellar on the day Monday. Good closes there. The wheat market as well. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Some news coming out of India about export duties maybe being lifted. We're going to talk about that more. It's all coming up after the break as we're back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS, you can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thank you for joining us once again here today as we keep you up to date with what's going on in the market, trade, and issues impacting rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing, he is our guest analyst here today, and we're going to continue our conversation with John coming up here in just a minute. Looking at some of Monday's closing market numbers, September corn down 1¾, 608.5, December down 2¾, 607.25, August beans up 4¾, 1619.5, November down 8¾ at 14 even, bean meal August down 40 cents a ton, 498.70, bean oil for August 61 points higher, 69.20, September Chicago wheat 4 higher at 779 at 3/4, December up 4, 799 at a quarter, September Kansas City wheat down a half a penny, 847¾, December down 1, 855, September spring wheat down 5¾, 880¾, December down 5¾, 894¾, lean hogs August 97 higher, 121.80, October up 190, 130, feeder cattle trade August up 175, 180, 127, August live cattle up 47, 138.35, October lives up 35, 144.22 on Monday. All right, let's get back to our conversation with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. John, let's talk the wheat market. That seemed to perform the best overall, it felt like, on Monday's trade. I saw a report India might scrap its 40% import duty to try and cool some record high domestic prices. That felt like the big news item in the wheat markets, at least to get things going on Monday. Would you agree, or did you see something else there on Monday?
You know, that was part of it. We had the little bit of weakness on the overnight based off the Russian crop getting bumped up again. And you know, we'll see where they are in terms of their export quotas and things along those lines. Again, dealing with domestic prices that need to get controlled. That Indian news obviously does bring a little bit of support in the market. If we do kind of see some purchasing come out of that, you know, again, there's a lot of demand for wheat in this world globally. Biggest thing for me, though, I'm looking at that chart. We're putting a bit of a round bottom in on this wheat market. Maybe we're finally getting to a low end here where prices are getting undervalued overall. You know, now if we could just get a little bit of upside movement, you go look at some of the moving averages and things of that nature. Boy, if we could just get about a dime to 15 cents through the up that top side, that would turn this chart around pretty quickly. Not that we're going to be off to the races, but we can start building some premium in here into this marketplace. I think a lot of it too is going to depend on what do we see for corn numbers and supplies here as well. Because if those cereal grains seem overly tight, then obviously we got wheat undervalued and the corn market may be also undervalued as well.
I'm a little concerned, I guess I shouldn't be too concerned, but you know, with planting coming up for winter wheat in the South, you know, some of those dry areas of Texas, Oklahoma, you know, barring they catch a tropical storm of some kind and we get some moisture replenished down there, I'm hearing some rumblings. Some producers may not put a seed in the ground just because it's so dry. And just with the tight global supplies of wheat, I think that's a story that maybe bears watching in the weeks ahead, John.
I agree with you on that regard. It's going to be something we're going to keep an eye on here. Do we get some actual progress? And, you know, obviously a producer, given the cost of inputs, does want to put things out there that may not even be productive. That might be something to help add just some value into the wheat markets in general, just to incentivize that producer to try to get that wheat in the ground. So I agree with you. That's going to be something that's definitely going to be on the focus. I think when we get the numbers here in the next few days and we'll see where things are, this market's going to start focusing on where we need to be for next year and encourage that production, whether it's a winter wheat crop or planting next spring and things of that nature. But again, it will be interesting to watch because you go look at those drought monitor maps in that region of the world, things have not improved and have actually gotten even worse in this last run, especially with those high temperatures and just a flat out lack of moisture in the atmosphere.
John, let's move to livestock. Cattle, hogs, Monday, fairly solid, fairly strong. I think took advantage of some of the choppiness in the grain trade overall. Starting with cattle, you take a look at those markets. Cash trade last week was okay, but still, it just feels like this cattle market kind of slugging along here. Looking for some of that upside momentum. What are your thoughts with cattle after you saw Monday's price action and kind of get into this week here?
You know, this cattle market slowly putting together one heck of a rally. We're sitting at a 45 degree angle on these October cattle, basically, in terms of the price movement. You know, it's not been anything too extravagant. We had a solid day, obviously, last week to give us a triple digit gain, and now we're consolidating at the top of it. You know, cash trade did firm a little bit last week, talking to a couple cattle people. Packers are looking for cattle. One thing that's out there, too, is the choice select spread is really wide right now. It's over $25 between the two. That shows me that the lots are fairly current. Packers are going to need to bid up to find quality beef to meet that domestic demand, which hasn't fallen apart. That was one of the thoughts that was a concern in this market, would be with the recession chatter and tighter consumer dollar that maybe beef would suffer. And we're still seeing that hold together. You know, these charts are looking very good right now, probably also led by that strong feeder cattle market. This all comes back to the fact that the cattle numbers are not there at this time frame, and that's going to carry well into 2023. You know, cow slaughter continues to run at a strong pace. And then on top of that, replacement heifers are going into the lot instead of into the herd. So we're not bringing any new animals into that sector. And that's just going to keep this thing very, very tight. Again, I still like the long-range cattle market. I've been that way for quite a while, and I'm going to stay that way at least until proven otherwise. You know, it feels like we got some more highs here in front of us, given the way the charts are acting, and it's just going to be a nice, steady climb as the money has been moving into this cattle market. I know last week I talked about open interest a little bit with a couple of my interviews, and that number is growing. That just tells us there's new money moving in and there's some room for this market to grow. And historically, a window where we do see open interest continue to move higher.
How about hogs, John? Final week for the August contract. It's still relatively in line with the cash index, but you know, on Monday, I saw the October contract break over $100. So that makes me wonder, is this October contract going to start creeping up near that cash index to try and get up to the August level as that contract is getting ready to go off the board? I have to wonder about that.
That's something I've been watching, too, has been that spread between August and October. It was up to $25, $26 last week, down to $21.50 here today after trading. You know, we did see that October contract did not take out the contract high, but contract high close today at the 130 cent level. So good day there. Again, that's the big question. We're in a window where we could put a bit of a fall high in as we expect weights to kind of grow and numbers to start picking up. But those numbers are still going to run under last year's levels in terms of total hogs available. You know, we'll see where these, you know, quarterly hogs and pigs report numbers come into play here. Are those numbers accurate? Are those pigs out there? And again, like in the beef side of it, the domestic demand has stayed pretty good. You still got retail values trading near the highs for the year, and that's keeping that cash market supported. So right now, that October contract looks like it wants to take out that contract high. We'll see where it wants to get to. But definitely as a producer, you got to be starting to look at those front months. This may be a great opportunity. Make sure you get some puts underneath this market, because now we're getting to that overbought stage, especially with this explosion after Thursday morning's open, which was so ugly last week. We've rallied nearly $7 now on that October contract. You know, that's starting to show us maybe we're stretching this out a little quick, and you'll see how that snaps back. So, you know, flexibility will be a key. Pick up some defense underneath this. If you got those hogs, keep that top side open and, you know, hope that goes worthless and watch this cash market run if it still wants to.
John, how about the dairy market? Any thoughts there as we start the second week of August?
You know, again, a scary market to me right now has been that dairy market. And we kind of fell apart towards the end of the week last week, well through that $20 handle. Seems to be trying to pull some energy back towards it today. We'll see. Cheese trade was positive on Friday, mixed today, but that's still going to be the key, is what happens with that demand on the cheese front. You know, again, I still think we got some more room to go down. Charts are pointing to a fairly good break possibly yet in that milk market. That's still going to come down to the demand that we see. Now, we are heading back to school season. That typically can maybe build up some demand as the schools start purchasing and bringing supplies in here, you know, in the cheese, the butter, and the milk side of it. So we'll hopefully see if we can get some footing. But again, like some of these commodity markets, that chart right now, it still looks like it's on a bit of a slippery slope. And I don't have any indications that this thing really wants to turn around, especially with the way the products have been moving.
All right, John, floor is yours as we get ready to wrap it up for the day. Any final thoughts you have for us here on Market Talk?
You know, biggest thing with USDA reports this week, and this report will be a mover, and then we'll sit back and wait for the crop tours and everything to start coming out in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, get again, those remember measure potential, and potential is still going to look pretty good. So we got to get this thing to finish out. Don't fall asleep on the defense here. Don't try to guess the report and trade the report. Look at your targets, set some protection underneath this thing, and then hope it's wrong. If it's wrong, that means you're going to make it up on the bushels. That's the key here in my mind. And if you're right on the defense, at least you got something there. Because again, these markets are volatile. The funds are still fairly long the corn market here. And if they decide to go ahead and run it to a negative contract position, now there's some room for this market to fall. And I would rather watch the cost of doing something. You know, obviously it doesn't get outweighed or is a lot less than the cost of doing nothing if this market were to fall apart.
Well, John, if producers need advice, I know they can reach out to you and the folks there at Total Farm Marketing very easily. How could they do that?
Sure, I'd love to chat with them anytime. Give me a call at 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And don't forget about our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. I know we're putting together a webinar for the report here on Friday for producers. Feel free to go online, sign up, look at the information that we provide.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. Always a pleasure, sir. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good week.
And again, that's John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing joining us here today on Market Talk. He mentioned some of those crop tours coming up. We're going to get analysis of the Professional Ag Marketing Crop Tour that they just had here the last couple of days. We're going to talk to Mike Miner with Professional Ag Marketing coming up on tomorrow's edition of Market Talk. Coming up next, though, we're going to take a look at the weather for the week ahead. Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien, he joins me after the break. Back with more Market Talk right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to take a look at the weather forecast for the week ahead, we welcome in Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien. Eric, great to catch up with you this week, sir. How are you?
I'm better than last week. I got stranded because of storms for 3 days last week in three different airports. And so I'm just happy to be home. Although I'll tell you something, they canceled my flights out of Washington, D.C. because of lightning. And it was a bit odd because a lot of people in the airport were complaining about why it's just a little lightning. Well, just so they understand this, there were actually three people killed in D.C. because of that lightning while we were there. And I want to remind them that, you know, when you think about these lightning strikes and what they can do, it turns out on average, every single aircraft in the U.S. commercial fleet struck once a year. So don't mess around with it. So I was kind of telling those folks, I'm like, hey, this is kind of what happens this time of year. We saw a lot of storms like that over the weekend that hit Tennessee Valley, Ohio Valley, the East Coast, in down in the Southeast. And each one of them contained just a tremendous amount of lightning. So it was a pretty stormy weekend.
It definitely was a stormy weekend. Well, glad you are home safe as well. let's focus on that stormy weekend, though. An area that I think is very key is the Central Corn Belt, the Western Corn Belt. And we got some of those rains that were in the forecast to verify, but it appeared like it was a pretty narrow band of heavy rain from, say, the Sioux Falls area across northern Iowa into Wisconsin, Illinois. What did you see from those weekend rains and some of that heavy rain that we saw in certain areas?
Well, that strip you just talked about had 2 to 8 inches of rainfall. I was supposed to actually go to Freeport, Illinois tonight for a Dynagrow event with Nutrien. And we had to cancel it this morning because it was all rained out and washed out. And although my wife teased me, she's like, well, you have an old boat. Why don't you take it up there? And I said, well, you know, it was, where the corn's standing, it can take that amount of rain. But unfortunately, it causes local flooding in certain places. But it was huge. Those rains are going to carry those areas all the way through the rest of this year and hopefully produce some huge yields. But it's important to see who didn't get it. So very sporadic rains across Nebraska. Southern Iowa did not get this precipitation. West Central Illinois missed out on some of this precipitation. So you had a significant portion of the Corn Belt, and I should throw in Kansas as well, a significant portion of the Corn Belt that had tons of rain in a big area that did not. And so overall, we still have substantial risk in places like those areas I just mentioned. But boy, it just feels like in the last 2 weeks, when it decides to rain, there's no such thing as a half inch anymore, right? It feels like you're going to get 6-7 inches of rain in certain places, and it's been quite devastating to some locations.
Well, and on the flip side of that, Eric, I was going to throw this out to you as well. I saw and heard from some farmers in north central Iowa, right where that strip went through. They got like 5 inches of rain, and they said normally they'd have water standing in their draw, you know, their little run through their field. They said it was bone dry after the rain. So I think that goes to show just how badly some of those areas did need some of that rainfall, Eric.
Oh, yeah. Soil moisture values before this were between 2-10%. And the beauty of the corn and soybean plant is that they are so effective at taking that water and putting it into the soil, right, where they need it. So you're right. You probably saw folks that got 3-5 inches of rain, and then you come back, you know, 24 or 36 hours later, like, wait a minute, didn't it just rain 4 inches here? Well, that crop takes the moisture in and uses it. So it tells you how thirsty the crop was at that point.
Well, and you mentioned some of the have-not areas as well. As we look at the forecast ahead for this week, it seems like, you know, we've had a bit of a moderating of temperatures for a couple of days, but we're going to get back to more hot and dry weather. It doesn't look like there's a lot of rain in the forecast this week. Is that true?
Now, we got this sagging front that heads east, so that's going to keep things like the Tennessee and the Ohio Valley stormy today, tomorrow, and maybe possibly some storms in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas. They'll take anything they can get down there. In fact, I was looking this morning. Texas is on pace for its like third driest year on record, which means they're rivaling the 50s drought and the drought of the 1930s, plus what happened in 2011. So it's good to see chances of storms coming through parts of the area. But after that, the ridge opens back up and slides to the west. And what that does is that really just puts a lot of dry conditions in the central United States. Once again, we're going to see high pressure build in, and the temperature is going to ratchet back up. So maybe by the end of this week, we're talking about triple digit heat in the Western Corn Belt again. And again, I'm mostly concerned about the state of Nebraska, Kansas. Those are areas that missed out on the rains, see the heat return. And I was just there last week, and they said, if we don't get rain now, our dryland areas are going to see significant yield loss.
And I've even heard of some silage cutters going in some of those areas already. So I think that speaks to just the situation that is developing and continuing to develop in the Western Corn Belt. Eric, as we look as well, what about globally? Anything South America, anything Europe-wise that we need to keep an eye on still?
You know, they had another heat wave in Europe, and in South America, we're kind of at that point where we're saying, when does the monsoon start? Is it going to start on time? Because, I mean, they're going to be planting in 5 weeks, right? I mean, it's September 15. That's their green light to start planting in like Mato Grosso. Some of the long-range forecast data, which was just released, continues to point at some risk of being drier in southern Brazil and Argentina. And know that over the last 2 to 3 months, Argentina's winter has been much drier than normal. So there's a lot of moisture that needs to be recovered before South America even starts thinking about this next growing season going into their spring, of course, which is our fall. La Nina, I'll be honest with you, this thing has outperformed all expectations. I just looked at ocean temperatures this morning. It shows very, you know, symptomatic of how strong the trade winds are across the central equatorial Pacific. So I think we're going to be talking La Nina going all the way through fall and into early winter. And then the other wild card with all of this is the tropics. National Hurricane Center finally today has identified an area that's got a 40% chance of developing into something, be it a tropical depression, but it's just south of the Cabo Verde Islands, which are just off of Africa, which means this isn't a U.S. threat right now. But, you know, normally August is the month we talk about things cranking up. We reach a peak in mid-September on the hurricane season. And while this particular year has been quite inactive, we could really just move ourselves into a very active time period where all of a sudden tropical system shows up.
Well, we appreciate the insight as always with that. Eric Snodgrass of Nutrient, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, you too.
And that is going to do it for Market Talk here today. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. you can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.